Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Some Pharisees came to test Jesus. They asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" Jesus answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a husband to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked Jesus again about this matter, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the dominion of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the dominion of God as a little child will never enter it." And Jesus took them up in his arms, laid hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. So let's first set the context of this story. Although this conversation between Jesus and his opponents is about the topic of divorce, Jesus' opponents really had little or no interest in the topic per se. The first line tells us what this is all about. The first line of the text reveals that his opponents came to test Jesus, that is, engage him in a conversation designed to undermine his credibility, to suggest that Jesus was out of step and disloyal to God. The last time in the gospel lesson that Jesus was tested was in the wilderness, where he was tested by Satan. This testing gives some real world reality to that general spiritual story, for testing is always about loyalty to God. So Jesus is being challenged. Jesus is being tempted once more, just as he was in the wilderness, confronting opposition to God's will. His confrontation is both spiritual and political. The spiritual question in the encounter has to do with who is being loyal to God's will, God's will being life and dignity for all people. The Pharisees are opposed to Jesus spiritually because he is opening God's promise to a broad spectrum of people. Jesus is challenging their power because their power came at the expense of the little ones, the children that we would hear of later on, those who have little value in society, little worth, or no power or agency, as symbolized by the children, who are always in that situation, the most vulnerable of people. It is a political encounter because his opponents want to diminish Jesus' standing in the sight of all the people that follow him. If they can portray him as a radical who is not in touch with social norms, perhaps Jesus will lose his credibility. Their power and their elite standing will be safe. And in the context of Jesus' society, and in the context of the marital relations of that time, Jesus' injunction against divorce was actually a position that sought to give women more standing and greater rights within marriage. As it was, men had all the power. They had all the power to dismiss a wife at will, or just as often willy-nilly. That attitude, as Jesus says, was a hardness of heart that flew in the face of God's own creation, which made men and women in God's image. And when Jesus speaks of one flesh, he is speaking of relationship, a relationship of mutuality, one of common respect, not one of power and subjection. Jesus was speaking against the particular form of abuse, which left women often destitute. Jesus is challenging this power over women. Now, in our age, we know that abuse and power over women can manifest within a marriage, from which sometimes there seems to be no escape, so that divorce becomes a safe and healthy remedy, where the concept of one flesh is destroyed by abuse. Bondage is not one flesh. Abuse in a relationship is only brokenness. It is not one flesh, not one heart, not one mind. Jesus is cognizant of the hard-heartedness of the male prerogative here. He is aware of the patriarchal power over women and of those in power over all the little ones of society. By articulating this spiritual ideal of one flesh as complete loyalty, complete commitment, and care for one's partner, Jesus is attempting to even out the power relations. Now, we know that the question of power over women is a perennial issue. There is a hardness of heart that persists. Hardness of heart is a closed mind to the truth, closed emotions to others and the truth. For instance, the mocking of Dr. Blasey Ford by our own president is headline news and an example of hardness of heart. But it worked politically. Also, in our age and throughout all the ages, the rampant sexual abuse in the workplace and in all sorts of places for perverted pleasure is staggering. We could argue, and I actually have often argued over the decades, that sexism is the most fundamental divide in the world, setting the agenda for politics and religions in many societies. As I said, Mr. Trump would not have used mocking words against Dr. Ford if it did not work for him politically and spiritually within a certain religious segment of society. We also know, in our historical and scientific context, that God made variations with this in this general context of male and female, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, even asexual. There is this grand and beautiful spectrum, this beauty and fullness of creation itself. But it does not alter the fundamental message of Jesus in this idea of one flesh. That is the full commitment of each partner in a marriage relationship and the full recognition of our partner's humanity and dignity. So, for instance, yesterday, we married David and Katie. The months of instruction I gave them is the exact same instruction that I am currently giving Andrew and Nathan, who will be married here in 1 month. One flesh is about mutual care, respect, dignity, and the encouragement of life for each person. So now, I almost was going to just leave off this bottom part of the text where children are brought to Jesus, because it seems at first like maybe it's not part of the story. So what's the purpose of the little children's story following this temptation encounter with Jesus' political and religious opponents? So Jesus has just taken a stand for life for women who were rendered powerless and voiceless. He was tempted to abandon God's will of life and dignity for people whose common parent is God. We acknowledge Jesus, just as our lessons were saying today. We acknowledge Jesus as God's Son because he is wholly consistent with God's will and purpose. Jesus has remained faithful to God's purpose and rejected temptation, just as he did in the wilderness. And now with the disciples and us, Jesus is saying, follow me. The children, the least of these, the most vulnerable of society, are brought to Jesus for his blessing. Now the children are both the most vulnerable, literally, before Jesus, but they are also symbolic of all the others who are rendered powerless and valueless and worthless in society. All who are in need of God's welcome in Jesus Christ. The blessing of the children then is an underscoring of Jesus' message about the worth and dignity of women and of all people. But the disciples don't get it. They speak sternly against what was happening, against Jesus' welcome and empowerment, and in a sense, they pick up again the temptation mentality. We, sisters and brothers, in our life, in our community, in our times, receive this same gift and opportunity to receive and welcome the least, to follow Jesus the Christ. It's a call to faith, to receive Jesus who himself is one with all the little ones, the lost, the devalued, those who are abused in the world. Jesus' power, his authority, his very identity is always found in the weak. Whenever his opponents, his own disciples, or we deny this and ignore his call to follow him in his welcome and blessing, all make the cross a reality. For on the cross, Jesus is one with all the lost, even those who drove him there. He is one with us in our weakness, and he is one with us in the weakness we cause. Is this what true one flesh is about? For God in Christ Jesus to bear in the flesh the depth of our failing, and now to rise with the salvific announcement of forgiveness and the promise of new life, a promise which always comes to us by the resurrected Christ calling us and presenting to us the little ones who long to be welcomed and received. In the Gospel of Mark, we are always being called in this resurrection invitation to return again to the beginning of the story, to Christ's inauguration in our lives, forgiven and renewed, back to the beginning to bring life and light to those who are in need. This is the true evangelical spirit by which and to which the risen Christ calls us. Amen.